Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
Hello again, everybody. It is Fantasy Football Elite, courtesy of GuruElite.com. I'm your host, Jeff Manns. How's everybody doing today? Another podcast here on the Fantasy Football Elite show. And talking of which, by the way, you can follow me, talking of which, I don't even know what that means. I'm just mumbling. Can you tell it's the busy season? By the end of this podcast, you guys are going to be able to tell that I'm already, I wish I was in mid-season form. I'm in some form. I'm frazzled. There's a lot going on. I want to bring it all right to your tasty little mouths. By the way, my name is Jeff Manns, GuruElite.com. That's the only place you find my work. There and FantasyGuru.com, by the way, because we are now one entity, one merged, beautiful, happy family. You could follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Manns, M-A-N-S, and the Jeff Manns on other social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and the like. All right, folks, so a busy, busy time across fantasy football. People are gearing up. Drafts are happening. Lots of player movements. Lots of injuries. We've got one preseason week already in the books. By the time you're listening to this, who knows? We may have two preseason weeks in the books. But that's the goal of the Fantasy Football Elite show, is that we're not just going to hang on to one topic or one performance. We're going to look at how one performance impacts the whole. By the way, the draft guide, FantasyGuruElite.com, that's where you find us. I have a draft guide there. If you want access to me and our team over at GuruElite.com 24/7 in our draft room, if you're on the clock, you could jump in our draft room. Imagine that. You have a draft. You're going. You don't know who to take. It's seventh round. Your guy's gone. Do I go quarterback? Do I not? Pop in our draft room. Boom, right from your phone. Tell us, hey, these are my choices. Boom, we help you make a decision. It's in real time. Imagine that. We have that right there at GuruElite.com. Also, have all our coaching breakdowns, offensive line breakdowns, over 800 player rankings. If you're a casual player and all you need is one sheet to bring to your draft and you have an auction or something like that, I got the draft book. It's right there for you. Boom. You sign in, you print it out, two buttons to print, bing, boom, bang, you're done, and you're good to go to your draft. And it'll tell you who to draft. Literally, it will just tell you as you follow along. So there we go. Let's get to some training camp news and notes. A lot going on. Obviously, preseason week one, I'm sure you guys have talked a lot about it. It's the first time we're doing it on the Fantasy Football Elite podcast, though, where we're talking about Darius Geis. I wanted to address this with everybody straight away because there's a lot going on, a lot of moving parts. And as of this recording, nobody's really sure on who is going to be the lead guy, who's going to get time in Washington, who we should draft, I mean, quite frankly. So let's go through that. Darius Geis out for the season-ending ACL tear, obviously devastating move there for the rookie running back. It opens the door, and the Redskins have been drafting running backs, so it's not like they're not equipped. Now, people really hate Samaje Perine. I don't get it, because honestly, Samaje Perine's a pretty darn good back, quick enough to get to the edge. He definitely is strong enough to run between the tackles. So I'm not understanding the hatred. He's a fourth-round pick from a year ago, went to University of Oklahoma. I don't really understand the hate. The thing with Perine, and the reason the Redskins, maybe if you're a Redskin fan, I understand it, but the fact of the matter is he drops the football, and he has a bit of a fumbling issue. At least he did last year. Didn't have it in college. We shall see how it ends up going. To me, Perine's the natural guy that could take this job and run with it, literally. The other two guys, obviously fat Rob Kelly, who's not as fat anymore, slim down Rob Kelly. Coaching staff loves him. They just love him. Unsigned free agent, worked his way up. Rob Kelly's a threat for this feature back role as well here in Washington. I mean, I have a tough time with Rob Kelly. Again, Perine versus Rob Kelly, to me, Perine's a superior back. He just is. And I know the fumbling problems are there. Rob Kelly, better in pass protection, does a lot of the little things, has endeared himself to the coaching staff. So that can't go underrated. still, I feel like Piran's the superior back. I really do. He's quicker than his times, his 40 times and all that coming out of school. Piran can get to the edge. He can sift between the tackles. Rob Kelly kind of run ahead. The thing I like about Rob Kelly is he is always falling forward. That's the good thing about him. Not going to get stopped for negative yardage and all that. We'll see how the loss of weight impacts Kelly. But so what I'm saying to you is P. Ryan's my choice. That's who I have higher in my rankings right now. Okay, so P. Ryan would be my guy. The wild card here is Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's not going to be the feature back. He's not going to be the early down back. He's not going to be the goal line back. So that's either Kelly or P. Ryan at this stage of the game, unless they were to go out and sign somebody else. And we'll talk about a veteran running back that just signed as well in a moment. Chris Thompson came out 2 weeks ago and said, I am not going to be 100%. I'm not going to be back to myself till November. And that freaked everybody the hell out, including myself. Talked about it a number of times, written about it as well. But I have some of my contacts, and most notably my guy Adam Kaplan at Kaplan NFL on Twitter, who told me privately and publicly that, you know, he has been to training camp. He watched Washington Redskins practice. He watched them scrimmage against the Ravens and all the fighting and everything else. He said Chris Thompson looks great. He said Chris Thompson's doing everything at camp. They're not holding him out much. They might hold him out of the games like they did in week one. That's fine. But Chris Thompson's going to play. And there's no reason that anybody sees he doesn't play week one. So with that being said, he's going to be the third down back. He's going to be the pass catcher here. Okay, I think P. Ryan's a better pass catcher than Rob Kelly. It's another reason I do like P. Ryan longer term. But Thompson's going to factor in. And, you know, now that Geis is out, it's going to be more, even more of a committee than we thought. And I think it's going to thrust Chris Thompson into action there as well. We know how much Alex Smith likes to check down tight ends, running backs who can catch the football. So that's the reason I go P. Ryan in the early downs. Chris Thompson is a PPR type guy. I'm not looking to draft either one of them. If either one of either P. Ryan or Thompson, if I'm taking either one, it's going to be as RB4, not even RB3. You know, Chris Thompson in a deeper league as an RB3, maybe that would make more sense. That's okay in a deeper league. We're talking more than 12, 14, 16 team league. Then he's an RB3. Otherwise, he's an RB4 because of the health issue and because of the uncertainty just surrounding the whole thing. So that's how I feel about the Washington Redskins running game situation. Let's talk about the 49ers now. Okay. The 49ers have a ton of injuries. And the 49ers have two running backs that are banged up, including, as of this recording, Jerick McKinnon has a hurt knee. Now, I had sources at training camp watching this happen. I remember this didn't happen during the game. You know, they played Thursday, and this happened, I believe, Saturday or Sunday. And the people that I talked to after this practice and this incident said that this looked really bad. It had looked like he had been shot. It was an obvious pull or a tear situation for the 49ers running back. Now, the 49ers have come out and said, no, not a tear. He's okay. He's had the MRI, but we've not heard anything definitive about the MRI. And the reason we haven't is we don't have to. They don't have to disclose anything to us. Which sucks for fantasy purposes, which sucks for drafting purposes, but it's the nature of the beast. So what do we do? McKinnon, they say it's a muscle strain in the back of his knee. Okay, we'll take them at their word. Matt Breida, we do know, has a shoulder dislocation. They call it an AC joint sprain, which, by the way, I'm not a doctor. I played one when I was in college, but it's a whole different – that's a different podcast. Someday we'll do Jeff Vance, the college years. That would be pretty interesting. A lot of poker – in more ways than one, I suppose we'll say. But AC joint sprain is a partial dislocation, and it's going to take a while. Those are tough injuries for running backs because lowering the shoulder, you know, maintaining strength around the ball, ball security issues, catching the football, raising and lowering that shoulder, these are tough things. So Breida is banged up for sure. What we know is the 49ers went out and signed Alfred Morris. Now, that's pretty interesting. What do we do about that? What are we thinking about Alfred Morris now? He's a veteran guy. Is he a threat to McKinnon or Breida? Maybe not, but here's what I say. And again, this is – I don't know how the story is going to play out over the days and weeks ahead, but when I saw the 49ers sign Alfred Morris, I immediately said there's something worse to one of these guys. And my intuition says it's McKinnon. Something is not good with McKinnon. It's worse than we thought. It's going to last into the season. They didn't go out and sign, you know, Raheem Mostert and stuff. They got guys like that. They got Joe Williams. They've got bodies that can, you know, maintain through training camp and still run the offense and all that. They needed a veteran guy. And they paid a surcharge for that veteran guy. And this is also a guy, Alfred Morris, that has played in Kyle Shanahan's system. In fact, back in 2012, 2013, this guy rushed for 1,600 yards, 1,200 yards, and 20 touchdowns in 2 years in this system. Not much of a pass-catching threat. He can catch the ball, though. That's one of those things that a lot of people don't realize about Alfred Morris. They don't let him do it, but he can do it. So Alfred Morris signing there to me means this is more of a permanent fixture. He's not here just to, maintain it, spend a couple weeks in camp and then get cut is what I'm saying. So there's a worse, either Breida and or McKinnon is in danger here of missing some significant time. And thus, if you notice my rankings over at guruelite.com, I do have Alfred Morris there, and he's in the top 70 at this point because I do think there's some smoke around this. And I do think at this point he's worth a late-round flyer. And if you're drafting tonight, if you're drafting this week, which is, by the way, today and this week, August 14th, 2018, the year of our Lord, that's where you draft him. By the weekend, we should know more information about this, but we'll see what ends up happening with Morris. I definitely think he should be on the radar, though, at this point. Other news from around training camp. How about the latest with the Cleveland Browns and Dez Bryant? Basically, Dez has pushed his way in the door to get a meeting with the Cleveland Browns brass. And, whatever. A meeting is a meeting. Big deal. No biggie to me. But what's interesting is that the Browns took the meeting. And we need to be proactive. When stuff like this is so highly publicized, you got to figure, oh, what if it happens? What if Dez Bryant goes to Cleveland? What does this do? What does this do to the Cleveland Browns? Does it help? Does it hurt? Whatever. I mean, if you're the Cleveland Browns, nothing hurts. Any player can only help an 0-16 team in theory. Now, I'll say this, that if they sign Dez Bryant, you got to wonder why, don't you? I mean, I know they just traded Corey Coleman for a 7th pick, which I've been on record. It's terrible. It's an utterly terrible choice. And obviously Corey Coleman tweeted out, "God solves everything," which is a tremendous tweet with the whole Antonio Callaway arrest and everything like that. But they just signed Jarvis Landry to a deal that is about, what, $75 million? 5 years, $75 million for Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry ain't going anywhere. There is the next 3 years, he is 4 years. Oh, no. Next, I'll say this. To his contract, I'm looking at the prices right now. There's an out after 2 years, but he's not going anywhere this year or next year. So he's in. No matter what, Dez Bryant would be a one-year contract as a get me over. But Dez Bryant's a guy. Jarvis Landry saw him command it on Hard Knocks. Dez Bryant is a guy who demands the football and playing time as well. He's not going to go there to play a part-time role for an 0-16 team. He's just not going to do it. And then what about Josh Gordon? So what I'm going to tell you right now is that if the Browns were to sign Dez Bryant, there's real problems with Josh Gordon. There's real problems. Because, for one, wide receiver is the least of the Cleveland Browns' problems. For two, they signed Jarvis Landry to a $75 million contract. For three, you just traded a first-round pick from 2 years ago who did nothing that wrong other than drop a pass in Week 17 last year that pissed off the coaching staff for a seventh-round pick. And you drafted fourth-round pick Antonio Callaway that you're claiming has having a great camp and you're very, very fond of despite his gun and marijuana possession charges, driving with no license, and all the off-the-field problems. Adding Dez Bryant is redonkular. And you have Josh Gordon, who some people, including maybe some of you guys, think is truly a top-five receiver in the league, talent alone. I do not think that. I think Gordon's very talented. But I think, you know, talent-wise, in 2013, I would have said that. In 2018, I'm not saying that. I saw a guy catch one touchdown, five games. Whoopity-doo, last year. He was solid, but he wasn't, and he's not Antonio Flippin' Brown. But people think that. So we have no timetable or schedule when Josh Gordon's coming back. If Dez Bryant signs in Cleveland, you got to put all your Josh Gordon love on the back burner. It's got to be over. It's over. You got to put it away because Josh Gordon ain't coming back. Or he's coming back midseason or 4 weeks in or whatever it may be. But whatever the case is, if that were to happen, it's one thing for them to bring in just a random journeyman-type wide receiver, right? Yeah, or a Russell Shepard, if they did that. And I know Shepard's on another team. I'm just saying, you know, bringing in a player like that, fine, you know, no big deal. But they have Jeff Janis, too. Don't forget who they got in the deal. Or they got in free agency. I thought he was part of the trade with Kaiser, but he was not. So, I mean, they have players. Bringing in Dez would be a much, much different equation altogether. Let's review some of the preseason week one performances before. By the way, also on today's show, I'm going to dive into age. Why age matters in fantasy football. And the study I've done since 1995, it's continuous. I posted the latest information with last year's results and every single draft guide every single year over at GuruElite.com. So go check that out, part of the 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide. And so we're going to break down age in a minute, but let's get to some performances first. Let's talk Vikings because it was a pretty interesting display, great offensive display. Cousins, solid. You know, Kirk Cousins came out of the gate firing and was good. And most importantly, the Kirk Cousins / Stephon Diggs combination was as advertised, wasn't it? I thought it was pretty good. They each played well. And, you know, Cousins had played very long, obviously. But at the same time, I was impressed with his poise. I was impressed with him getting the ball to Stephon Diggs right out of the bat. And then, of course, who comes in that game but Trevor Siemian? And Trevor Siemian is shredding everybody. Why? Because that's what Trevor Siemian does in the preseason. Trevor Siemian, you need to start him every single preseason week. He is one of the best. He is a Hall of Fame training camp player. Hall of Fame. Like, I'm not effing around. He was amazing at Northwestern in the practices, too. He had flashes in game. He shows flashes at times. But in training camp and practice, he's amazing. So that's not a big surprise on the Vikings side. The other side of this game with the Denver Broncos was that everyone's freaking out about Case Keenum. Case Keenum not so good against his former team. The thing is, don't forget how good this defense is. The Vikings defense is very good. And I know the Broncos is, and Cousins played well. I understand that. And so did Trevor Siemian against some of the first-team defense. On the flip side, not so much, but I have no problem with it. He played two series, and what did he do, 1-4? This wasn't anything. People freaking out about Case Keenum. Chill the F out. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. He's locked into the starting role. There's no – stop flipping out. I mean, here's the thing, Broncos fans, certain teams maybe. Maybe it's just a team thing. Because when Siemian was lighting it up, everybody thought Trevor Siemian was a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And I know who those people are. Someday I'll just get really drunk and I'll come on this podcast and I'll just start shredding everybody in the fantasy industry. Just telling, I remember all your bad picks. I remember all you sons of guns that talk about Danny Woodhead being a top 10 guy and Trevor Siemian being a starter. I remember all of them. And that's not to say I don't have my skeletons or my bad calls. I absolutely do. But nevertheless, those calls were just terrible. And Siemian never does it when the lights go on. Case Keenum will be solid. He's going to be fine. Denver is a bigger problem with Paxton Lynch. And looks like they're going to elevate Chad Kelly, third-string quarterback, ahead of Paxton Lynch. Whatever. That doesn't pertain to us. There's nothing about you. Chad, the whole thing with that is Minnesota's defense, for as good as it is, as talented as it is, it's not an abundantly deep defense. It is on the first and second levels, but the players Chad Kelly came in against the fourth quarter, in the fourth quarter, was garbage. And the game was over and didn't matter, and everybody let their guard down. So for the Broncos to make a change like that just screams of paranoia to me and putting way too much stock in there. I like Cousins. I like Diggs in that game. I'm not worried about Case Keenum. I'm not impressed with Sam Darnold for the New York Jets. Oh, my God, if I have to hear one more flipping thing about Sam Darnold, I'm just going to vomit into the mic. The whole Fantasy Football Elite next episode is going to be me going, that's what I'm going to do, the whole show. And you are going to listen to it. Every single one of you are going to sit there and you're going to listen to me vomit onto the microphone because the New York media hyping Sam Darnold. Slow down. Bridgewater played a lot better. And I'm not a Teddy Bridgewater guy. Never have been. Nothing against Teddy, but I've never been that guy. I'm never going to be a Teddy Bridgewater guy. But he played better. I'm not impressed with Sam Darnold. And, you know, we get these reports and the inner squad scrimmages with the Jets and the Redskins and – Josh Norman's saying, oh, well, I'm very impressed with Sam Darnold. Give me a break. Just don't believe. This is the crap to not believe. It's stop believing it. Stop buying into it. Sam Darnold is playing good for a rookie, which is a very, very low scale. Don't buy into Darnold. How about this? Saquon Barkley, talk about rookies. One carry, and we're already, I dropped my pants in front of the screen. Just did helicopter the whole time. 39-yard run right out of the gate. Now, he's came down in practice over the weekend with a bit of a soft tissue injury, a hamstring that's bugging him, and they're basically putting him on ice the rest of this preseason. So don't expect to see much Saquon Barkley the rest of the way. I feel like we got all we needed on that first carry. And, yeah, you can't judge it, the whole book by his cover. The thing is, let me say this. The one thing that does concern me about the Giants in general is that schedule. If you look at the schedule, Saquon's got a tough road. Week one against the Jags, then the Cowboys, Texans, Saints, Panthers, Eagles, Falcons before the second half of the season gets a lot better against the even the Redskins is pretty good. Then they got 49ers who can rush the passer, good secondary, but can't stop the run. Buccaneers, Eagles again, Bears, Redskins, Titans, Colts, Cowboys. A lot easier down the stretch, but, man, the Giants that start of the season worries me a little bit. The improved offensive line is huge for Saquon, though. The soft tissue injury, we need to see him get over it, but I'm confident he will. It sounds good as well. They'll go slow with him, so don't expect to see much of him. And as a result, I bet you he slides toward the end of the first round, whereas he was right after that 39-yard run the next day before the injury. This is a guy who was averaging fourth overall in National Fantasy Football Championship drafts. So there you go. Some really important players because they're mid-round selections and they're running backs. And the cupboard is bare as far as mid to late round running backs. It just is bears, not much to get. But two good performances of note. And one was the Kerryon Johnson from the Detroit Lions. Lions and Raiders had a pair. Both Marshawn Lynch And Kerryon Johnson had long runs called back because of penalty. And again, if you didn't watch these games, you didn't see how good it is because the final stat line won't impress you as much. But Kerryon Johnson, this is a dude that is a full-time back, should be. If Kerryon Johnson was in New Orleans or Pittsburgh or, hell, if he was in L.A. with the Chargers or the Rams for that matter, like, this is a guy who's a first-round pick. But Detroit is a cluster F of running backs, and they have so many guys with all different levels of commitment. Some guys were brought in by this coaching staff, most notably Kerryon Johnson and LeGarrette Blount. Other guys from other coaching things, but high picks like Amir Abdullah and Zach Zenner. And then you've got Theo Riddick, who actually has a decent contract. He's a third down back, but he's not with this. So there's all these. It's one of the biggest melting pot backfields there is in 2018. But I look at this and think, how do you not? But they're going to trade Amir Abdullah. They have to. There's no reason they don't trade Amir Abdullah. And the 49ers, if there is something wrong with McKinnon, seem like a fantastic spot just off the top of my head. But how do you not let Kerryon Johnson just carry on the ball? Just give him the damn ball. That's it. He can catch too. Yeah, this is a talented freaking kid. Big runs. They're committing to the run with Matt Patricia. Jim Bob Cooter has been so pass happy in his first 2 years as offense coordinator. One of the stipulations of him keeping that gig with Matt Patricia is that they're going to focus on running the football. This is one of the reasons they got all these runners. But to me, it's Kerryon Johnson going to win that job. It has to be. The rest doesn't make sense. And does LeGarrette Blount get short yardage duties, goal line duties even possibly? Yeah, it's very possible. LeGarrette Blount, one of the biggest run after contact guys in the league each of the last three seasons. So it's not surprising he might get short yardage work. Theoretically will be mixed in on third downs, but the rest of these guys are not needed. I mean, Zach Zenner's a nothing. Dwayne Washington's a nothing. Amir Abdullah is something, but again, not this coaching staff didn't bring him in. And thus a very viable trade candidate there as well. And on the other side, Marshawn Lynch. Got it. Marshawn Lynch had two runs called back in this game, one touchdown run that was called back. Very impressive, Marshawn Lynch. The offensive line in Oakland, we have to remember, is very good. Very, very good. So with that being said, I just think that you kind of have to do it. He's not a target of ours. He's over the hill. And yes, as I'll talk about with age, this is not a target that we would do with age. But at the same time, starting running back, still got a little juice left in the tank. Motivation is there. Gruden's a fan. I think Marshawn Lynch is good. A lot of short yardage touchdowns. Don't forget last year, what do you have, 7 touchdowns last year for Marshawn Lynch? I mean, forget down the stretch last season. Lynch was playing and playing pretty decently. So I look at this and think, all right, yeah, he had 7 touchdowns, 891 yards, average 4.3 yards a carry. It's not bad. Not bad for a 31-year-old, and he showed the juice here at 32. So don't forget about Marshawn Lynch either. These are very rare commodities if you choose to go wide receiver or, God forbid, even tight end early. You're going to need your mid to late round running backs, and I just dropped a pair on your lap right there. Andrew Luck looked fantastic. I'm so pumped up about Andrew Luck. Good Lord. You guys who are listening to the podcast, you first arrivers, man, you guys are in. Hopefully you're invested. Hopefully you hit that over on the Colts. Hopefully you hit the over on the game, the player prop for the season. Hopefully you drafted him in your best ball leagues or even redrafts if you did that, your high stakes league. Gobbled up shares. I know I do. I have a ton of shares of Andrew Luck, and I'm thrilled to death about them with every passing day. He looked fantastic in his preseason debut. So, and again, not holding him out. How great is that? Everybody said, oh, he hasn't thrown a ball in 15 months, and he hasn't thrown a ball. Who cares? It's all nonsense, all stupid. That was all bad advice that people got. Drove me absolutely crazy. All right, so there you go. There's a recap, a strong recap, I think, of week one in training camp, getting everybody up to date on my thoughts there. Let's talk a little bit about age. And age is important. and fantasy football is very important. And this is what we teach over at GuruElite.com and even FantasyGuru.com, is that we're about more than just throwing you stats and news. I don't fancy myself. I'm not Adam Schefter. That's not who I am. It's not what we do. I don't report news. I interpret it. I get it. I know Ian Rappaport says something. I'm not paying attention. I know how to sort of filter out news, but I'm not a news guy. I'm not a pure stats guy. I love my statistics and my metrics, as you guys know by now, but I like them in the right context, and that's a major problem. What I am and my strength, I am a fantasy football player. High stake. I'm not afraid to put in $5,000-$10,000 of my own money into a league, knowing that I have a very viable shot to win, or putting $1,000 a week into a daily fantasy football contest, knowing that I have an advantage. And only people with extreme confidence. And listen, I have a wife and three kids, so I have to. I'm accountable. I'm not a single dude spending whatever money I get. No, I'm not doing that. I spend that money to make that money so I could eat, my family could eat. And that's how I do it. I'm a player. I'm a daily fantasy player, a seasonal fantasy player, and have been for 30 years. And what I will use, there is no information that I won't look at. I will look at every single solitary piece. Then I throw most of it away, and what makes it through is the stuff that's important. And age, how old a player is important. There's no way around it. It's a tool that we use. I know a lot of you out there may be complaining, oh, I want to hear yards after contact, and I want to hear about how his catch rate and stuff like that. Those aren't as important. You need to filter it down by age first. And what I'm telling everybody is, if you're a Dynasty League player, get the core of your Dynasty League in their prime years and always monitor them. Once there's a whole evolution at every position, which I'm going to talk about here. And as they age and get older and whatever, we stop. You got to trade high, trade them right as they're at the edge. You're going to trade them the year before or the year of them falling off. That's what you do in a dynasty league. That's how you manage a dynasty league. And then you're building in on the backside, you're building a new equitable talent. That's how you do it. In redraft leagues, it's the same concept, except you're not keeping these guys and trading them away. You draft a team full of players in their prime. I don't know why it's so hard about that. It's difficult for people, but don't draft players who are outside their prime years. And I have said it for many years. I will go down every single time. I'll spend $10,000 of my own money to play fantasy football in 2018. And I will do it. And I will fade a player that had a tremendous 2017. And how could I do that? Everybody else seems to like. Why will I fade him? Because I would rather be a year early, a year too soon jumping off the ship, than a year too late. Because a year early, guess what? You jump off the ship and, oh, yeah, it's still sailing. But you attach yourself to another ship and you're still rolling. So even if that you lost the transaction, hey, I'm fading LeSean McCoy at age 30 this year, and I'm jumping on to, you know, Jordan Howard or somebody like that, or let's say Alex Collins. Let's just throw that out there because it makes more sense. And oh, McCoy, you know what? He's still good. He still outperformed Collins. But what did I lose? I lost 10% production, maybe 20 at the absolute most. But I still am returning 80%. Guess what happens if LeSean McCoy completely wets the bed and starts losing carries to Chris Ivory, and you have this guy that you have to start every week, and now it's like, now you're losing 100% because you don't have that replacement. There is no 80% of that. There's no making it up. So I'm always going to jump off early rather than late. Let's talk about the age and how it's important. Quarterbacks, young quarterbacks perform very poorly. Age 21 to 24, virtually. Since 1995, this has gone on. Now, quarterbacks are getting a little bit more of an opportunity earlier in their careers over the last 10 years. But between 21 and 24, they're worthless. Virtually worthless for fantasy football. They're just not good. And I know those of you who will be out there say, what about Jared Goff and Carson Wentz last year? A, Carson Wentz is 25. Something we have to know. Jared Goff is 23, and yes, he came out of nowhere. He was crazy efficient and effective, but guess what? Not a top 10 fantasy quarterback at the same time. Not a top 10 guy. Zero of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks were under 25 last year. Zero. So 25 is the magic age that we start to see an uptick, but it's a very specific uptick. Third-year starters, 2 years under, 2 years starting experience, starter experience, and going into their third year, or some of which have had 3 years already in the can, hitting age 25. Either one is a very positive. We see big jumps, huge jumps, and we have the graphs over at GuruElite.com in our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide. You'll see big jumps for players with that kind of experience. Third-year experience, 2 years starting, hit age 25, boom, they rise. Okay? So back in the day, it used to be that a quarterback's prime was – and oh, well, one other thing, one other aspect of this before we get to the prime years, that they're also – quarterbacks are holding on to their fantasy value a lot later. And this is a dramatic change, dramatic, because of a couple players. And those players are Tom Brady, who's now going to be 41 years old this year, Drew Brees, who's also old man river. I mean, all of a sudden you start seeing these guys that are producing well after age 35. And it's fascinating. Ben Roethlisberger, the same kind of thing, seeing his production. But specifically, you know, Phillip Rivers, is Eli Manning, even though he's not helping the cause. These are all older quarterbacks. Quarterbacks used to be done by 35. Done. Done. It used to be over, especially for fantasy purposes. Not so much anymore. So these guys have changed the game. A couple of years ago, 2013, when I published this article, I went back 5 years. You know, just a round number. I could have used 2014 or 2012 or whatever, but went to 2013. The prime years of quarterbacks were 25 to 30. Pretty even, pretty simple with that. Now, already 5 years later, the prime years of quarterbacks, 27 to 33. 27 to 33. So a quarterback under 27 hasn't even hit his prime yet. Take that into consideration. And the rise of the age, the longevity issue is very good for dynasty leagues and keeper leagues and all that. It widens the player pool. Young quarterbacks, not so much. You can't trust a young quarterback. And I know people want desperately to believe in guys like, I mean, look at Marcus Mariota. He's been pretty bad, real bad his first couple of years in the league, but he's a guy that's hitting all our cylinders. Third year starter. Age 25 season. Mariota's got the bullseye on him. That's good. But guys like Winston, who's only 24 now, even though he's got the experience, and Mitch Trubisky, starter from a year ago. I mean, these kind of players, you know, look at Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. None of these guys are going to produce. Not for fantasy. You got to get that out of your head right away. All right, moving on. Running backs. Running back is clearly a young man's game and just getting younger. I'm pretty sure they're going to have 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds playing at the NFL within my lifetime. But more rookies succeed at running back than any position in the NFL. No, think about that. Rookie running backs. And remember, how many guys are taking the first round? Guys like Geis and Royce Freeman and players that I'm pretty high on this year. Saquon was taken the first round, but that's about it. But they're ultra successful. So you're seeing guys picked in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round that are breaking out, becoming fantasy stars at a very young age. That's a uniqueness to the running back position. Okay, so five of the top seven leading rushers in 2016 were 25 and younger. Seven of the top 10 in 2017, same deal, 25 and younger, seven of the top 10 for that. Peak fantasy production for running backs, it's clearly age 22, rookie season, virtually, through 27. At 27, we start a ski slope, and the charts on the site will show it. You could ski down. Other positions, you'll see there's little upticks and little, you know, caveats and things, other, you know, valleys and peaks. With running back, it is straight down from age 27 all the way down. Now, I'll say this, and you'll say, but man, I thought 30 was the terrible number for running backs. 30 is the terrible number for running backs. 30-year-old running backs, such as LeSean McCoy, is atrocious. Their production never, it's very bad. And I know Lynch did pretty darn good. Lynch actually rose the 30-plus running back production just by himself last year, slightly. And it was a moderate season. But it goes down fast. 27 is the peak age. After that, everything is down. They still achieve RB1 status after 27, most notably at age 28, 29, and maybe age 30. But after that, but it continues to go down. Every year is regression, 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 regression. Bad. So you want to draft young running backs with opportunity. Who would those be this year, folks? Well, pretty easy. Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette. These are the guys we're after. These are the players that we want on our teams. These are the guys we want to invest those early round picks to. Couple players that may surprise you a little bit on this, and that is, well, Jordan Howard being only 24. I think that's surprising. Melvin Gordon being 25. Still well within their prime years. Zeke is only 23. But Lamar Miller is only 27. Still his final peak season with Deshaun Watson under center and healthy Hopkins and Will Fuller. There's a lot of positives surrounding Lamar Miller. And the most important is he's not sharing the backfield with anybody. Not sharing the backfield with anybody, which is huge. Devontae Freeman's only 26. So he's been around for a number of years, but still, he's well within our peak age and years. Wide receiver positions. Those of you who've been playing fantasy football for a long time, like myself, remember, used to be third-year wide receiver. It used to take wideouts that long to develop. There's a lot. Remember, wide receivers, there's a lot to the position. You have to learn your routes. You have to learn the playbook, of course. You have to develop a rapport or chemistry with your quarterback. You have to develop rapport and chemistry with your fellow wide receivers in the directions and the angles that you run your routes. You have to earn the trust of the coaching. You have to show steady hands. You have to stay healthy. Been a big problem, especially for younger wide receivers hitting the league. There's a lot that go into it. And back in the day, which is 5-10 years ago, they would wait. Head coaches would wait and wait and wait and develop wide receivers before they would throw them out there in those situations. Modern day NFL, you don't have a tenure as a head coach anymore. You get a year, you get 2 years. That's what you get. If you don't improve your team, a lot of coaches get 3-4 year contracts, but it's 2 years. You lose 1 year, all right, it's fine, rebuilding. They want to see an improvement that second year. If you don't, you're most likely S-canned. You're most likely out on your ass. That's what will probably happen to you. And so thus, coaches aren't developing talent anymore. They need to plug them in. They need to sink or swim because the ship is sinking. And if you're going to swim, you're going to rescue us, or you're not, and we're all going down. So that's what's happened at the wide receiver position. And thus we're seeing a lot more younger wide receivers get playing time. Now, it's different for wideouts than running backs or even quarterbacks. 5 of the top 10 receivers last year were 25 or under. That's pretty significant, really. I mean, and one of those was Jarvis Landry, by the way, most receptions in the league. But, you had Landry, you had Michael Thomas, you had Keenan Allen. All those guys, DeAndre Hopkins, are now higher than 25. They're all older than 25. They're all in their age 25 seasons last year. So, bit of an anomaly there. The production, the prime years for fantasy wide receivers is still age 26 to 31. It's a bigger span than we see. It's a bigger peak than you get with running backs or you get with quarterbacks. But 26 to 31, that's where we see these guys get on top of their game and stay on top of their game. The thing we have noticed lately is there's not a lot of wide receivers that are playing deep into their career. It used to be Art Monk and Gary Clark and all these, man, these guys played until they're 39. They played well, but not anymore. With injuries and concussions, and you're seeing guys like Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones flaunted retirement this offseason. You get guys that are wanting to call it quits early, you know, and it's interesting. But you're not seeing a lot of guys going to their mid-30s that are still producing. Larry Fitzgerald's the only one. I'll go through last year's – here's the age of last year's receiving leaders. 25, 34, which was Larry Fitzgerald. 24, 25, 29, 25, 29, 27, 28, 25, 28, 30, 27, or 22, 27. 22, by the way, was Alvin Kamara. Running back. 27, 21, 29, 29, 23, 25, 27, 24. Okay, a lot of younger players in there, but the thing, 24 was Duke Johnson. I mentioned Kamara, and the other 21 that you heard in there was Christian McCaffrey. So, and Le'Veon Bell is one of the 25s as well. So some of those younger guys, I suppose I should have taken out the running backs for the purposes of that. But you want that 25 and over crowd for wide receivers still. Even though we're seeing more rookies produce, we're also seeing a lot of them flunk out. The Corey Coleman's, Philip, Laquan Treadwell, Josh Doxson's, Philip Dorsett, all these guys drafted young wide receivers are never getting on the field. Tight ends, huge – the production, don't draft a rookie tight end. I know I like Hayden Hurst this year. Hayden Hurst, Dallas Goedert. I am hearing tons of positivity about Dallas Goedert in Philadelphia. But again, Hurst is a guy I would draft, but only as a second tight end. I think that offense really cares about the tight end. They play a lot of 12 setups, which are two tight ends on the field. So I think Hurst could be a very sneaky guy. But players like Evan Engram are an anomaly. Evan Engram only produced because everybody got hurt in New York last year. So the stats don't lie. Young tight ends don't produce. Simple, it just doesn't happen. And that's not changing. It's actually getting quite to the contrary. And so the huge jump in production for tight end doesn't start till age 27. The latest rise that we see. And the peak years are 28 to 32 for a tight end. The young tight ends don't produce. And we saw a period of time where older tight ends were productive, the Antonio Gates of the world and stuff like that, and Tony Gonzalez before he retired. But that was an anomaly too, because we are back down to where we were in the all throughout the 90s, the early 2000s. You don't see older tight ends holding on either. After age 32, sharply decreases. Not as bad as running backs, but right up there as well. So those are the age groups you want to be in. Again, check out all this and more over at GuruElite.com. You guys check it out. Fantasy football draft guide available for you now. The draft book is part of that. By the way, just so everybody's aware, we are early bird over at GuruElite.com. Early bird daily fantasy football. If you guys are in the market, you want to win some big money. Again, we've got millions of dollars in earnings playing daily fantasy sports over at GuruElite.com. In fact, our guy Jeff Collins, El Jefe, at Jeff K. Collins on Twitter, he just won $500,000 as the DraftKings WFBC champion. That's the fantasy baseball championship. He's a 20-plus time live final qualifier and winner, and one-time live final winner now. I've won a live final in both football and baseball myself. A lot of big money winners over there. If you guys are in that, if that's your game, DFS, our early bird is running out. We're not discounting this stuff anymore. We don't discount, but we believe in what we do. We have a track record that's unparalleled. If anybody has any questions about Guru Elite, myself, or anything else, hit us up at Twitter at Fantasy Guru or Guru Elite DFS at Jeff_Mans, or use the hashtag Elite Mafia. Elite Mafia is what we call all of our customers. All of our people, you will see screenshots of all of our customers winning money, all that. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to sign up before you realize it. Do your own homework. go look at what we've been able to do and accomplish for our people and check that out and get in while the early bird prices are still there, because the prices only go up. By the way, for those who are subscribers and whatnot, I just want to clarify that during the season, once the regular season starts, everything daily fantasy football is on GuruElite.com. Everything seasonal fantasy football related is on FantasyGuru.com. The VIP packages, the base Fantasy Guru and the VIP, available now over at FantasyGuru.com. I know it is very complicated, but I want you, it shouldn't be that complicated. We just had a merger, so the two sites are as one. Now we're one big happy family. We're very excited about it. Folks, if you've got any other topics you want me to tackle in a future podcast, hit me up at Jeff_Manz, the Jeff Manz, on other social media outlets. Till next time, everybody, this is Jeff Manz for Fantasy Football Elite.